Okay, repeat after me. Lord, I thank you for ears that hear, a heart that perceives, and the eyes see. My eyes. They see. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you on a small journey, but the press was to remind you that it's just do it. You know, when you listen to what happened to this gentleman who started the Nike Corporation, he started with a plan from God. It was a very minor plan, but it became an international plan, and it touched the four corners of the earth.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Do it. What is it that we need to do? Well, this is it. Verse 24 of chapter 4 in Ephesians. Verse 24 of chapter 4 in Ephesians. And you're going to notice that it's just do it. In other words, don't start thinking about it. Don't analyze it. Just do it. And it's a very simple instruction. Put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on. Now, if I told you to put on a hat or put on a jacket, you know you can't debate. Because it's something you need to do. Put on the new self created to be like God. You say, well, why would I be created to be like God? Because that was the plan all along. Adam was to become like his father. But Adam chose another man and adopted him as a father figure. His name happened to be Satan. So he switched his allegiance and caused all kinds of problems, and we're still tasting some of the effects. But the second son, who happened to be the firstborn, was Jesus. He put on the Father, piece by piece, section by section. You say, well, that doesn't make much sense. Well, it does if you start wondering why we have such trouble in the world. Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ or is in the anointed, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So when you're born again, you become a brand new personality. The old is gone, which is really the Adamic nature. Now, does it leave your flesh?
No.
Does it leave your soul?
Yes.
Nope. Your mind, will, and emotions are still old. What part of you got changed?
Spirit.
Your spirit got transformed. Your spirit is made new. Now, when does the spirit take over the flesh? if I give it permission. All right, I like the if part.
That's the big question.
Yeah. And it's a procedural thing. It's a progressive thing. Okay? The apostles had a struggle. You and I have struggles. And sometimes we find the old nature. Adam just comes to life when you least expect it. And Eve is right there with it. And they play the old games that they had. Galatians 6:15. Galatians 6:15. St. Paul is making it quite clear. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. So he's really identifying how important this new creation is really happening. happening in the believers. And that's what I'm trying to give you tonight. An awareness of how awesome this creation is inside your spirit that you may not be conscious of until you start seeing some of its fruit. Okay. I own a furniture business, and we had 7 apartments in that same building. One of my tenants was what you could call a very angry, bitter woman. Her husband was what you could call the meek little mouse. You never really heard him speak one word louder than the other because she spoke for both of them. Mm-hmm. Okay? And her mouth was probably in competition with some truck drivers or whatever. So she would come in to pay her rent, and I heard everything under the sun that was available to criticize every single one of those that she held in her heart. That was her family, and she couldn't stand any of them. And the one that was her biggest irritation was the one that was born again, because she was a pushy woman, like her mother, and she wanted her mother to be transformed and born again. And of course, it wasn't working. Until how God did it, I can only tell you about the fruit of the new creation. This one Saturday morning, she bounces into the office and she says, "Kim." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Because she was always bold. Thank God the store was empty that morning. She says, "I'm all done swearing. God cleaned my mouth and I'm a new creation." And I said, "Holy mackerel, Andy, you really are different." And she says, "Yep." She says, "I went to this service. This guy had a word." She says, "And I got up and I gave my life to Jesus. And guess what? I haven't had one foul word come out of my mouth since." I said, "Whoa. You know what, Mabel? This is incredible." She says, "Why is it incredible? I really didn't realize my mouth was that dirty." She says, "Because I was talking like all the other girls in the factory."
Amen. Amen.
That was the first signal. You know, when I got born again, my language didn't change. But hers was dramatic. The next few weeks were awesome, because every single time she would walk into the office, Irene and I would look at each other. We'd say, "God did something to this woman. This woman is totally, totally different." We could tell she was different because the new creation had done its work. Ephesians 2:15. "By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace." Now, you say, "I'm not catching it. What do you mean, the two?" Well, the old soul, mind, will, and emotions were in agreement with the unregenerated spirit. So as far as Mabel was concerned, she was perfect. She didn't need God. She had a mouth, and she fixed everybody to make them surely bow to her needs and her demands. Now, there's none of you that are like that, and you don't know anybody like that, so I'm not talking about anybody here. But I am speaking about this woman. She's gone to be with Jesus, by the way. And I'll tell you truthfully, we were the best of friends. We were the best of friends. Why? Because God had transformed her. You say, "Well, that hasn't happened to me." Well, maybe you need to knock on the door again.
Amen.
Okay? There may be corners you don't like. Well, maybe he don't like them either. So you could be on the same page. His purpose was to create in himself one new man, in himself, in the anointed. We are one body with many parts. And you can find that in Corinthians. But I'm not focused on that right now. I'm trying to give you an understanding of what has happened to all of you. Ephesians 4:24, you already read. I want to give you Ezekiel 11:19. That's the prediction of what was going to happen. I will give them an undivided heart. Ooh. I will give, meaning God, and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from their hearts of stone and give them a heart of flesh. When that woman had a heart of flesh, her mouth was cleaned up. And I'm not picking on her. I've met many, many, many believers, men and women, that were transformed when God flipped them over like a pancake. And you know what? They were a pleasure to meet. She said to me one week, I don't remember how long after her born-again experience, she had had some very religious irritations in her life. She was laughed at, mocked, abused, publicly and privately, and she would always get to know who was tattling about her. And she would definitely advertise who did it and how. And I knew many of those individuals. They happened to be her outlaws. She comes in one Saturday morning. She says, you know, I forgave my mother-in-law. I says, you did? Yeah. I even forgave my sister-in-law. I says, you did? She says, you know, they didn't really deserve it. But she says, you know, I figured it's about time. I said, well, how about, you know, your brother-in-law? Because I knew him too. I'm still debating whether he should be or not be. I said, why so much for him and not, you know? Well, she says, he kind of led the path or the parade. And I said, well, Mabel, I'll tell you what. Ask God for grace and you'll have that willingness to leave him to the Lord. Oh, she says, that would be the best news. Let him get flipped over. So you see, she had seen what God had done to her. She was a living example of Christ in her, the hope of glory. I want you to go back now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Why was her hardened heart visible when it came to her brother-in-law? Because of the intensity of the damage that had been done. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I rest my case. If you'll just kind of close your eyes and say, God, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to be like your son. Your firstborn. That's my goal. I have his spirit inside of me, doing a number on me, like he did with Mabel. She's with you now, Lord. And truly, whatever you did in her, I have a few relatives you could do some surgery on. Bring them to yourself, Lord. Clean them up. And keep cleaning me up. For your glory. Amen? And amen. To share some hugs with each other. Keep the saints in prayer. Don't forget, Linda was struggling. And let God do the rest. Amen? God do the rest. Amen? God do the rest. Amen? God do the rest. Amen?